True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Going back to The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Welcome to the show. Aaron Lemming of Bear Report, 24-7, 365, any other numbers you got, and Windy City Gridiron. Aaron, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. How we doing?
Well, we're doing okay, because, look, we're just basking in the afterglow of that victory over one of the worst teams in football. And the fact that you're playing, you are the Bears, not you. This is not the editorial you, but the metaphorical you. The fact that the Bears are playing this team, and it has to be brought up, their record in one-score games, I think that tells me a lot of where they are and how embarrassing that is. But in your 10 thing, as you ran down the 10 observations, 10 points, 10 things that jumped out at you, what jumped out at you? What was important? What did you learn from the Bears' victory over the Panthers?
Well, kind of feeding off what you were just talking about, one of the things that I noted in my latest Windy City Gridiron article was talking about exactly that, how it's like, how can you feel good after that type of win against that type of team? I mean, it's just, and again, obviously Tyson Bagent is a undrafted rookie making his fourth start in the NFL. It's been a great story. I think everybody's ready for Justin Fields to be back at this point. But I mean, you're talking about a one win Carolina team that frankly shouldn't have had that one win if it wasn't for the fact that CJ Stroud struggled on that last drive of the game for the Houston Texans a few weeks ago. Carolina wouldn't have a win right now. And frankly, I think if you're looking at a measuring stick, and this is something that Ryan Poles has talked about, that Matt Eberflus has talked about, how close they are and how they're fighting in the locker room and all this other stuff, it's hard for me to see it play out on the field. You're talking about a boatload of penalties. You're talking about a boatload of mistakes. The execution is not there. The effort level has been questionable at best. And you go out against a one-win team that, frankly, should probably still be winless, and you beat them by 3 points. And it doesn't look like there's progress being made. I mean, I think you can actually argue, even though they've won three games this year and they won three games all of last year, that they looked better and they had higher effort last year.
Aaron Lemming is my guest. He writes for Windy City Gridiron. That's what we're talking about. He had written 10 things off the Bears win over the Panthers, and you cited something as well that I was talking with Mark Rohde earlier, and I said, so who jumps out of you? What jumps out of you? What's good? What's the best thing that came out of it? And he really liked the right side of the offensive line and the way they eventually were given the chance to run over and run through and destroy people, and that's how Foreman scored his touchdown, and the only touchdown they'd get. But I had mentioned, I thought, Kyler Gordon had put together a game, again, a rookie quarterback on the road, banged up roster, no offensive line, no real weapons, but Kyler Gordon had put together a series of games. How would you gauge his improvement, his growth, his progress?
Well, I think it's been a little bit of a mixed bag, right? I mean, there's no other way around it to say that I think the Bears put him in a very poor spot last year, switching him between nickel and playing the boundary corner spot. And I think that this year they finally committed to having him, you know, full time at nickel. And obviously he had the broken hand and missed, what was it, 4 games. And, you know, it's been kind of a slow process coming back. And he even talked about that, you know, after the game. He's been kind of, you know, trying to get back into rhythm, trying to get back into, you know, the weekly, you know, things that they do in terms of practice and getting out on the field and actually playing, you know, playing football. And I think, you know, when you look at these 2 second-round picks that they had last year, in my personal opinion, I don't think Jaquan Brisker has been very good at all. I think he's not been overly good in coverage, and I think he's had a lot of mistakes, especially as a, you know, in run support. So I think you're kind of looking right now and you're saying, okay, you know, corner is obviously a more valuable position. You need one of these guys to hit. You need another one of them to at least be average. And I think Kyler Gordon's got all the tools to be one of the top corners, at least top nickel corners in the league. And I think that, you know, all you have to do is go back and look at Matt Eberflus' defenses with the Colts and a guy named Kenny Moore, who came over basically after being cut as an undrafted free agent and has really made his mark in the league as one of the best nickel corners in the league. And I think that that's kind of what they see in Kyler Gordon, because it's not all about coverage. He gave up just 16 yards in coverage. He had the 1 pass defense. But I think, you know, more than anything, we saw a guy that is able to, you know, not only play the run well, he had basically 4 tackles for either no gain or loss. And then you also had, you know, multiple plays where he was blitzing, and he's been relatively effective in that role. So I think, you know, we're starting to see again, it's been kind of up and down because of the injury, but I think we're starting to see, you know, an improved player, and they need that, because right now, obviously, Jalen Johnson is very up in the air with the whole contract talks. Tyreek Stevenson is kind of taking the same route in a sense that that Gordon did last year. I mean, he's had some good plays and he's had some really bad plays. So, there's a lot up in the air there. So I think they absolutely have to have a guy like Kyler Gordon hit, especially at nickel.
Is there any chance that Kyler Gordon's future is what's affecting Jalen Johnson contract talks?
You know, I don't think so, just because, you know, at least from what I've seen, and this was my overall evaluation of him coming out of Washington, I think because of his size and because of his overall, you know, agility and speed, I think he is going to be a better nickel. So I think you're basically talking, obviously they both play corner, but you're talking about 2 different roles. So no, I don't. I think the one argument that you could make, and obviously he needs to get back, would be Terrell Smith. If Terrell Smith comes back and plays well and gets some chances over these, you know, these last 7 games of the season, I think you could make that argument with Jalen Johnson. But I don't think, in terms of Kyler Gordon, in terms of the role he's playing, I don't think there's really, you know, those are, at least in my opinion, those are kind of 2 different things there.
So the Montez Sweat story, ongoing improvement, things like that, generated 8 pressures, which is the most by a Bears defensive lineman since Robert Quinn in 2020, which is, wow, that's quite a thing. And I don't know if it we'll have to see it play out, I think, but there was a question when he was traded, when the Bears brought him in and signed him to the big contract. Is this guy a multiplier, or did he benefit from all those first-round picks on the Washington defensive line? I don't know that one game against that team, against a bad offensive line, is going to answer it. But what conclusions do you have early on about Montez Sweat?
Well, I think so far so good, right? I mean, obviously, like you pointed out, it's been 2 games, and this is, I would say, the first real game where he's been able to kind of get, you know, a little bit comfortable and understand some of the defensive calls, which is something he talked about after the game as well. But it's definitely going to take some time. I like what I've seen so far, and I know, you know, in this day and age, especially with the different advanced metrics that are out there and the different ways to be able to evaluate edge rushers, you know, sacks are obviously a bottom line type of thing. But I think that, again, you talk about him being a multiplier, and you talk about him almost being kind of an eraser, where other guys can make mistakes and he can still kind of, you know, compensate for that. And obviously we haven't seen the sack numbers, but he's got 12 pressures in 2 games. And I think that that's been a big thing, because again, they brought over Yannick Ngakoue, you know, during the offseason, and frankly, two out of his three sacks so far have been coverage sacks, and he's whiffed on a few, and frankly, he's not any good against the run. And I think that's another thing with Sweat, especially in this defense. It would be interesting, obviously, to see if they end up moving on from Matt Eberflus or they go a different route defensively next year, how that will change. But he's also really good against the run. So it's one of those things, unfortunately, when you trade, especially a high second round pick, like it's going to happen for the Bears. You know, you're talking about, in a sense, an overpayment, right? And then obviously the contract happened, and you're talking about a guy that's basically going to be getting pretty close to, you know, $25 million a year. It's a lot of money to pay for any player. I mean, that's more than Khalil Mack signed for a few years ago. But I think that he's one of those guys where on his own, he can be good. I think that ultimately, you know, going into this offseason, they've got to figure out either three technique or another defensive end. They need to get one of those two to really maximize the value that he's going to bring for them.
When I heard the talk of, is he a multiplier or did he benefit from all that? And it would be answered in Chicago. My first thought was, who is there on the Chicago defensive line to multiply? Who would benefit most by it? And not naming names, just thinking the talent isn't there to even take advantage of it. And I don't know if you agree or not, but aside from Montez Sweat, who on that defensive line is a starter next year?
Yeah, well, and I think that's a great point, because I think really when you're looking at it, I think the only guaranteed starter on that defensive line moving into next year is Andrew Billings. And Andrew Billings is a great one technique. I mean, he's probably, I'd say, within the top, you know, 7 to 10 nose tackles in the league. But you're not really looking at a nose tackle as somebody who's going to create a ton of pressure, which is kind of crazy, because for the first 7 weeks of the season, he was actually, in terms of, you know, pressure rate and in terms of success rate, he was actually the best pass rusher. But I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, Jervon Dexter has had his moments. Zach Pickens, not so much. Justin Jones his numbers have been better, at least this is my opinion. His numbers have been better than what he has actually looked like on the field. But yeah, I think, you know, when you're looking at it, I mean, DeMarcus Walker is the only other edge that they really have on the roster that's even of note next year. It's still a complete overhaul, I think, you know, especially when you compare it to the offensive line, where there's at least some pieces. I mean, you talked about it earlier, you know, with the right side of the line right now with Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright, and you have some pieces to point to, even, you know, a guy like Braxton Jones. And I think defensively, I think that you can make an argument that at least two of those four spots need to be, you know, need to be changed out in terms of starters. And I think that you can also make an argument that, you know, the third edge rusher and probably that third defensive tackle off the bench need to be something better than what they have right now.
So what would you, Aaron Lemming is my guest, Windy City Gridiron. We're talking Bears here on The Score. So Nate Davis comes back. Where does he come back?
I think he comes back as right guard. I think, I wasn't a big fan to begin with of them moving Tevin Jenkins. Just think about it. He came in the league as a left tackle, obviously had the back injury, didn't really play his rookie season. They moved him to right tackle his second year when Ryan Poles took over. That didn't work out. He lost that battle. They move him left guard. And then this year they sign Nate Davis, who's played nothing but right guard going back to college, and they move him to left guard. So you're talking about a guy that is really prepared at four different positions on the offensive line in his, you know, 2.5 years in the league so far. And, you know, kind of going back to what, you know, Grody was talking about earlier, it's funny because I actually felt like the right side of the line between Darnell Wright and Tevin Jenkins actually probably had their worst game of the season. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Derrick Brown is an absolute animal on the inside. I mean, you can go back and watch some of the All-22. It's pretty impressive how powerful Derrick Brown was and how bad he made them look on certain plays. But I think when you're talking about Nate Davis, I think you're talking about slotting him back in at right guard, and you're moving Tevin Jenkins over to left guard. Because I think if you look at the future, at least the next year or two on this offensive line, I mean, Nate Davis, the contract that he signed, it was a 3-year, $30 million deal. But the first 2 years of that deal are all but guaranteed. You're not going to cut him and save, you know, $1.5 or $2 million next year. I mean, he's on the team and he's probably best at right guard. And I know you can make the argument of health, but unfortunately, I mean, both of these guys have had health issues. So I think ultimately Tevin Jenkins will end up sliding back to left guard. I think for the most part, I would say probably four out of their five starting offensive linemen are there. Obviously, we'll have to see what happens in the draft, but I think center is going to be the big next piece. And, you know, kind of going back to the offseason, I question the fact it's like Cody Whitehair, Lucas Patrick, those are not guys that are going to be plus starters for you at center or at guard. I don't know why that they didn't make a little bit better of an effort to try to go out and upgrade center.
There's a lot of questions like that, why they didn't try to make this better, that better. And it keeps coming back to you're just not going to rebuild in 1 year. And next year allows – next year is for filling in those blanks. And it starts with a quarterback. Where are you on Justin Fields if the Bears are still waiting and to evaluate him and waiting for answers? Part of me says, if you're asking that question, you already have your answer. And the other part of me says, why can't they coach the player that's there instead of the playbook and scheme that's there? Where are you in evaluating Justin Fields and the likelihood that the Bears will pay him like a franchise quarterback?
Well, I think you just, I think you really just nailed the nuance of the conversation, right? I mean, this isn't as black and white as what a lot of people would like to make it. It's not as simple as saying Justin Fields has failed or Justin Fields is going to be the guy. There have been so many things ranging back to even when you look at how they handled Trubisky, right? You go back to 2017 when they drafted him. They had a lame duck head coach in there. They still took a quarterback. They traded, you know, slightly traded up, but they still traded up to get him. They fire their head coach the next year. They bring in a whole new offensive staff for a second-year quarterback. Then they repeat the same exact thing with Justin Fields with a lame duck head coach and GM. And, you know, the year that they drafted him, trade up again. Next year, they fire him, go in a different direction. And I think more than anything, I think a lot of that question is going to be answered based on what they do, you know, with a head coach and an offensive coordinator, right? Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, the fact that we're still asking, you know, whether Justin Fields is the guy is, at least in my opinion, a worst-case scenario coming into the 2023 season. I mean, this was kind of the year you say, okay, they've improved the offensive line on paper. They've given him DJ Moore. This is a second year in the offensive system. Things should be going better than they are, but obviously, you know, the up and down play, he had that one, you know, the two-game stretch that he looked outstanding against two pretty bad defenses, if we're being honest, and it's been relatively up and down. But then again, I mean, you look at it, and it's like Luke Getsy, at least in my opinion, has not been nearly the offensive mind that they build him coming over from Green Bay. I think there's been a lot of questions there, and not just with Justin Fields. I mean, just going back to his comments last week, talking about how they don't really need to do a whole lot in order to, you know, whatever quarterback is starting for them, they don't need to do a whole lot to change the offense. And to me, all you have to do is look at Tyson Bagent and look at Justin Fields to know that they're two very different quarterbacks who have two very different strengths. I mean, Justin Fields is a guy that obviously holds the ball for longer. He's taken 24 sacks in 5.5 games. Tyson Bagent has taken 5 sacks in 4.5 games. But Tyson Bagent has not given his receivers a chance down the field with deep balls for the most part versus a guy like Justin Fields who does. So, I mean, you're talking about two quarterbacks that are vastly, vastly different from each other. And you have your offensive coordinator talking about, well, we don't really need to do a whole lot to change. You know, this is going to be the offense one way or another, which is kind of back to your point of, you know, whether or not that's kind of the thing. So that's a long way of saying, let's just put it this way, I'm not a betting person, but if I had to put money on something right now moving into these last 7 games of the season, I think the Bears are going to have a rookie quarterback next year. I think the likelihood of them having a top 2 pick and getting one of Caleb Williams or Drake May is extremely high. And frankly, I still think, regardless of what people are saying right now, I still think there's a relatively high chance that Matt Eberflus is not going to be here next year. And if you have a new head coach, you absolutely need to go with a new quarterback. And if you have a new quarterback, if you have a rookie quarterback, then you absolutely need to have a head coach. It's a very nuanced conversation, and it's a long explanation. But I it feels like, regardless of what Fields does over these last few games, it just seems like the deck is going to be stacked against him. And in my opinion, a lot of this is not his fault.
But a lot of it is when you know if you've been told don't hold the ball, even though you think touchdown to check down, which I thought was a great thing, that I like that trait, but you got to know the clock in your head and the ability to identify an open receiver in the NFL is different than when you're at Ohio State and you have every advantage at Ohio State. I'm convinced that's what makes CJ Stroud might be blowing up my thought, but Ohio State turning NFL quarterbacks, what hurts them is Ohio State. It's not a lab. It doesn't produce them. It produces some bad habits. I can wait. I can hold the ball for 10 seconds. My guy will get open because nobody's going to sack me because we're bigger and better than everybody else. And I think he carries that around and turned it into an admirable trait of touchdown to check down. and it hurts him. And I don't know how we judge his learning curve. And we saw the two good games. I would like to see a guy with those kind of physical talents be able to benefit. All those things benefit the Bears, but I just don't know that the Bears know how to coach the talent that's there. Or maybe you see something in Fields that prevents him from doing it, prevents him from progressing. I know that maybe it's a little nuanced, maybe it's a little of some or another, but where do you come, how do you conclude, what's your answer to that, Aaron?
Well, you know, it's a tough answer. It really is. And, you know, looking at it from, you know, how I felt this entire situation, it's there is fault on both sides for sure. Because like you pointed out, I think one of Fields' biggest issues so far in the NFL has been the fact that he's held on to the ball way too long. And obviously I get it, you know, everything's going to be different, but I do think, like I pointed out, through 4.5 games, Tyson Bagent has taken 5 sacks. Obviously the turnover numbers have been absolutely horrific. That cannot happen. But again, if we're just talking time to throw, holding on to the ball, getting rid of the ball, making decisions down the field, or, you know, getting through your progressions, whatever it may be, that is something that Justin Fields, like a lot of quarterbacks that come from those spread offenses, struggle with. I think we've kind of seen the same thing. I'm an Oklahoma fan, so we've kind of seen the same thing with a lot of the Lincoln Riley type quarterbacks, and we're going to get to see another one in Caleb Williams, which I know people are kind of afraid of. But it's also one of those things. You know, you look at it, you even look at, you know, with Luke Getsy, though, at least in my opinion, there hasn't been a lot of permanent bend, right? You go back to last year, and obviously there were those vast changes going into the Patriots game, and everybody's like, oh, wow. And those lasted for, you know, 5-6 weeks, and things looked better, and then all of a sudden it started slowly fading back to what it was. And then they open up week one of this year, and all of a sudden they're trying to make him a pocket passer again. And, you know, here's my takeaway from it. Here's what I will say from Luke Getsy's side of things. You don't have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Like, you're trying to run an offense with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Tyson Bagent isn't that guy. Justin Fields isn't that guy. At some point in time, kind of like we saw with Matt Nagy, you have to be able to make adjustments, permanent adjustments, and be able to, you know, make those on the move, whether that's game to game, a few games at a time, whatever the case may be, or even something as simple as, you know, halftime adjustments, which they struggled with as well. So I just, it's a tough conversation, and I know it's a very emotional conversation for many people, especially Bears fans, but It's starting to feel, especially with only 7 games left, assuming that he even starts these last 7 games, you know, due to health, it's starting to feel like one of those situations where we're never really going to see the fruits of the labor. We're never really going to see how this all pans out. Now, here's what I will say. I think if Fields does get traded this offseason, if he's deemed not the guy, they go in a different direction. I think that a offense like Arthur Smith in Atlanta, one of those types of offenses where, you know, they can basically give him a more of like a Ryan Tannehill type role, I think would fit him well. And I think that really what it comes down to is sometimes you have a vision on offense and you try to make it work. And, you know, there's only so much bend that a lot of these coaches have. And frankly, Fields is never going to be that quick read guy. He's never going to be the, you know, the guy that, you know, wants to take all the quick options. He doesn't do well over the middle of the field. We've seen that. And that was something that Aaron Rodgers did really well. So more than anything, I think this is more of a fit situation. But again, if you're going into year 4 of him at quarterback, you've got to make a decision in terms of, you know, his fifth year option by May. There's a very good chance that they're going to have a number 2 pick. Obviously it's not a guarantee, but I think you got to feel pretty good about their chances right now. If they have one of those 2 picks, I have a hard time thinking that if Ryan Poles is still the general manager, that he's going to opt to keep Justin Fields and not restart the entire clock. Cause like you said, you can't rebuild a team in 1 year. And this is a great way to kind of restart the clock on all that and give yourself a little bit more time.
And with his guy. That's another part of it, whether it makes mm-hmm. sense or not with his guy. Aaron, great stuff. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for your thoughts. It was terrific.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's been very enjoyable. Thank you.
Aaron Lemming, Windy City Gridiron. Terrific stuff. So we'll take a break when we come back. The best thing I read this week, undrafted quarterback, starting for a legendary NFL team, not Tyson Bagent. Maybe better as a story. We don't know if he's going to be as a player, but I like this stuff. and he's living at home with mom and dad. No lie. Saturday 2nd, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex, I should have had you play Oh What a Night. You know what that song is? Do you know who sang it? Alex? Oh What a Night. Late December back in 63. No, you don't know. You're looking it up on the Google machine. All right, there is, if you're a musical theater fan, you know that song from Jersey Boys, a group that included, yeah, Frankie Valli, but included a guy named Tommy DeVito. If you're a football fan, you know the Giants starting quarterback tomorrow is a guy named Tommy DeVito. He, too, is a Jersey boy starting for Jersey's team and living at home with his parents. He is an undrafted free agent, last college. He was at Syracuse, went through the portal. He played for Illinois last year.
He was pretty good for the Fighting Illini, too.
Yeah, and he signed as it's Tyson Bagent with maybe a better backstory. They said Tyson Bagent could be a movie. Well, Tommy DeVito, we already know he's got musical theater chops. This quarterback, because Daniel Jones got hurt, because he always does, and Tyrod Taylor got hurt, and now he's undrafted free agent out of Illinois, is your starting quarterback for the Giants tomorrow against the Cowboys. He lives at home. ESPN.com did a great story on him because it's all Saquon Barkley goes, for reals? Yeah, for real. He lives at home. And DeVito said, it's a no-brainer for me. Everything I need is at the house. The decision was made since this level of football is stressful for a rookie, especially from the quarterback position. There's a lot going on, a lot of meetings, so everything outside of football is handled by my family. Now, this is the team he grew up rooting for, right? And he doesn't live far from the stadium and the practice facility. Quote, I don't have to worry about laundry, what I'm eating for dinner, chicken cutlets and all that is waiting for me when I get there. My mom still makes my bed. Wow.
Okay, he could have left that part out.
Everything is handled for me. Honestly, I don't know if I could find a place closer to here than where I live. It takes me 12 minutes to get here. And Justin Pugh, a veteran offensive line for the Giants, says, this is one of the smartest things. Financially, it's smart. Keeps him at home. Limits the distractions. They're all amazed. You don't hear this about an NFL player living with mom and dad.
Yeah, but I can't imagine his signing bonus was very much. Maybe a couple $1,000s.
Right.
He's getting his game checks now that he's on the active roster, but he's probably not strapped with cash from his NFL earnings yet.
I don't think so. And it makes financial sense to do that. And he's the using his parents' house as a staging ground, he's had other fellow rookies over for dinner. Hey, mom's cooking. Yeah, sure. She's got enough for you. Yeah, sure. Come on over. It's Jersey Boy. It's really I love this story. I love the name. Did you ever see Jersey Boys? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about, Alex?
I did not see it.
All right. It's great. It's wonderful. But then I'm old, and the music is old, too. And it's the lead storyteller is Tommy DeVito, who is a member of the Four Seasons, who, well, they saved his tuchus by getting him out of Jersey and into Las Vegas, where he could be kept safe. By after gambling away a lot of money that the Four Seasons had earned. And it's a wonderful, I love the music. I thought that the staging was terrific. And every time I see Tommy DeVito, that's what I think of. And now Tommy DeVito is an NFL quarterback. So I think that's the Fox game, the late game, it's not an island game, but it's the 325 game here. So see how many Jersey Boy songs. See how many Four Seasons songs get played, and you report back to the class next week. Okay, Alan? See what your education is.
I'm on it.
Tommy DeVito. It's a great story. Coming to a theater near you. All right, take a break. We come back. We have an interview to bring you about college basketball. Yeah, it's here. Everything's here. Because we're Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Look at you! Oh, what a night. You know what the song's about, Alex? You should read the lyrics and figure
somebody
it out.
Somebody enjoying a nice night?
The night. Yeah. You're going to report back to the class next week. All right, look, if nobody important listened, I will be back next week with Saturday Suckage. Now we wanted to bring you an interview Gabe Ramirez did with John Rothstein, CBS college sports basketball writer.
And now we have the luxury of learning a little bit about college basketball. The season is upon us, and we get a chance to chat with the man for himself from CBS Sports Radio, or excuse me, from CBS Sports, and of course, FanDuel hanging out. We got John Rothstein. John, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, man. How you doing?
You know, I can't complain. I got to be honest, you know, it sucks because, you know, I'm a Chicago guy. And out here, obviously, you know, we don't follow college basketball as much, right? There's no team that we associate ourselves with.
Right.
So growing up, I was a big Kansas fan. You know, I love my Jacques Vaughns. Okay. I love my guys. And so, you know, it's always been a case where, you know, come March, I'm always picking them to go deep. And then they've always, you know, they let you down, you know, a couple of times. And then all of a sudden this year, they're ranked number one. And then I say to myself, this is scary. Even in the coaches' poll, you see so many people just saying, yes, Kansas is clearly that number one team in America right now. What can you say about the Kansas Jayhawks to make me not be such a cynic when it comes to this team?
Well, the good thing is you've got a coach, obviously, in Bill Self, that's won multiple national championships. Another thing that you have to be excited about is the fact that Hunter Dickinson in Kansas' system is going to be right there with Zach Edey of Purdue, I think, in the quest to be the National Player of the Year. There's also the seasoning you have at point guard with DeJuan Harris, who has already been a part of a national championship team in his career. In between those two players, you've got Kevin McCullough, one of the great glue guys in college basketball, and another great role player in KJ Adams. So Kansas has a lot of pieces that you have to like. I wish this team was probably a little bit deeper. I mean, the Jayhawks.
Yeah, and that's why I see KJ Adams. You saw what he did last year. Just, you know, a great, great guy that can get a bucket, his walking bucket, right? And then, but you're right, depth is an issue. But you would think, you know, it's so amazing. You see Bill Self just get his contract, you know, reworked so that he's the highest paid college coach this year. Well, what do you think about the lifetime? Because, you know, you hear that and you're like, a lifetime contract. This seems very odd to me. But I mean, here he is still with the college. And still with the program and having them sitting at number one.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it that if, you know, for all intents and purposes, Bill Self wants to coach longer than the 5 years that are in front of him, he'll get that opportunity. You know, it's interesting because you look at the last two coaches at Kansas, Bill Self, Roy Williams. You know, growing up, just as you were captivated by the way Roy Williams, you know, did at Kansas, but the real knock on that era of Kansas basketball, well, they didn't win enough in the tournament. But Kansas under Roy Williams, did go to the Final Four in 91, did go to the Final Four in 93, and also did go back-to-back in 2002 and 2003, but didn't have that elusive national championship. Not only does Kansas have that twice under Bill Self, there was also that run of winning at least a share of so many Big 12 regular season titles. So the accolades continue to pile up during this now 20-year run with Self as a JLS head coach.
We're talking to John Rothstein from CBS Sports and FanDuel Sportsbook here on 670 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez. I know you're the hungriest insider, right? But what talk to me about like your love for college basketball, but more so in a sense about the players, right? Talk to me from a player's perspective, following these young men and how much effort they put in. Because I try to tell people all the time, like obviously in Chicago, big NBA town, Bulls. But, you know, right. I try to tell them, you know, the hunger that these young men play with, it's just different. You could watch any game in college basketball any night. It could be a West Coast game at 9:30 in Chicago, and you're going to see two teams that are giving max effort. But for you, John, what is it that you love so much about college hoops year in and year out?
I think the unpredictability, Gabe. I mean, I think there's so many people now who are, you know, married to the analytics aspect of sports, and analytics in a lot of ways have changed things. But Fairleigh Dickinson, according to the website, you know, that's based on analytics, KenPom.com, was ranked 265 at the end of last season. That team that was ranked 265 was able to beat a team in the NCAA tournament, Purdue, that won both the Big Ten regular season and tournament titles. And that just shows you how unpredictable this sport is. And when you go up and down the line, there's so many theories that we have about what it takes to be successful, right, in college basketball. One of them is to have great success in the NCAA tournament, a team has to have NCAA tournament experience. Mm. Three of the four teams in last year's Final Four, Connecticut, the national champion, Florida Atlantic, and also San Diego State, did not win a game in the NCAA tournament the year previously in 2022. So just when you think you find out the answers about college basketball, somebody else is changing the questions.
Yeah, ask Michigan State how they feel about that statement after yesterday. But it's true, right? It's the unpredictability, especially when it comes tournament time. But even throughout the season, I mean, it's not so easy, right? I mean, we're speaking from a FanDuel perspective here. It's not so easy to just walk in, you know, day in and day out and say, these are the guys that are going to win because they're blue chippers. You know, sometimes you got to go against the grain and pick some of those underdogs to get yourself some money, right?
No question. And that's one of the things that I really find interesting. Who can I identify outside of the top 9, 10, 11, 12 teams of the country that I think would be a dark horse to go far in the NCAA tournament? Kind of like what we saw from Miami last year, you know, being a team that was, you know, not seeded as high as some other teams in the NCAA tournament, but one that obviously found a way to get to a Final Four. And I think one of those teams, you know, that I look at for 2024 is the team that, you know, is down the road from you guys in Champaign, the Illinois Fighting Illini. I look at this team and I look at their chemistry compared to last season. I think their chemistry is infinitely better. I look at, obviously, the depth that they have. I think their depth is outstanding. And they also have the ability, again, to have great positional size. When you think about the opportunity that Brad Underwood has right now and who he's going to start, if you go with Ty Rogers, Terrence Shannon Jr., Luke Goody, and Marcus Domas, that's four players on the court who stand 6'6 or taller. So they're not getting as much attention as maybe they got a year ago, but I really like the makeup of this Illinois team, and I think they're right on the heels of Purdue and Michigan State in the Big Ten, along with Maryland and Wisconsin.
It's interesting you say that, John, because, you know, you look at some of those teams. You were talking about Miami a second ago. You look at the Fighting Illini, and these are teams that had good squads, you know, even a couple years back where they utilized the transfer portal, were bringing in. I remember Miami 2 years ago had a guy from Chicago that had been playing, you know, 6-7 seasons in college basketball because of certain things. But you find the Fighting Illini, they almost felt like they had the best team they'd had in maybe a decade or so a couple of years back with the
yeah.
You know, my Puerto Rican brethren that's no longer there went to St. John, and then of course they had a couple of guys that, you know, got drafted but didn't necessarily pan out. But Brad Underwood does a great job of coming back and retooling his squad so that way he can compete in an extremely competitive Big Ten.
Yeah, he definitely can. And look, the bottom line is this: when you look at Brad Underwood's tenure at Illinois,
he has made Illinois one of the most consistent brands in the Big Ten Conference. But let's just call it like it is. Illinois has not played particularly well over the past couple of years in the NCAA tournament. There was the loss to Loyola Chicago when they were a number one seed when they had Kofi Coburn and Io Desumu. There was the loss to Houston the following year. And last year, we lost to Arkansas. So that's something that I think will change over time, but that's something I think this group will work hard to dispel coming up here in the spring.
Talking to John Rothstein here on 670 The Score, I'm Gabe Ramirez. Talk to me about tournament time, you know, because I got to be honest, when I'm trying to pick my favorites, I always try to think about, like, the ideal roster for college basketball, right? You always think about good shooting guard play, right? Someone that can score, someone that can shoot. Size doesn't necessarily matter and in that case. And then you also need some seniors, right? Somebody to kind of ground you. At least that's what I think, John, when I'm looking at teams and I'm trying to figure out putting them against each other and seeing what are some things you look at when you know, obviously putting two teams together. You know, what are items or checklist variables that you look at to try to figure out who you think is going to end up on top?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is the more you know about this, the worse you do in your picks. So let's preface that real quick.
That is true.
But, you know, there are certain things and certain teams that you want to identify as early as you can, and I think you nailed it. You want veteran guards. You want guards who can make threes. I like to have teams also that, you know, can make free throws. That's so big in the NCAA tournament. And I think you want those requisites when you're trying to put things together. But you know how what I say all the time, man, this is only November.
Yeah. I mean, we're still getting it. We still haven't even got into conference play yet. It's going to be a fun season. I know you mentioned Illinois. I know we talked a little bit about Kansas. But who are some other teams that you feel like are standing out to you? Because you're seeing some blue chippers at the top again, right? Duke's in there as well, Kansas.
Sure.
Who are some other teams you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, Duke, I think, has the best roster in the sport. Obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Florida Atlantic does. Everybody back from last year's team that made the Final Four, except for Michael Forrest, the veteran guard. Obviously, a couple of teams in the Big East, Marquette, Creighton, UConn, the defending national champions, all at the top 10. And I also think Arizona under Tommy Lloyd, a team that put up 122 points on Monday night against Morgan State, is a team that looks like a bomb squad out of the Pac-12. They're going to play Duke on Friday. So those teams definitely for sure.
Yeah, I like those. I feel like teams that always let me down, Houston being one of them over the last couple seasons. Creighton, I keep feeling like they're going to make that deep run, you know, get to a championship game, you know, just because of the coaching staff they have there in place and the players that they consistently pull into that organization, that school. But, you know, here we are nonetheless. And the good thing is this, a lot of college basketball, a lot of opportunities to gamble, John. Talk to me about what FanDuel has in terms of incentives for people to jump on board and get in the action.
You know, I'm just a content creator. I'm not Jimmy the Greek, so I want to make sure that's out there right now. But, you know, there's no better place, obviously, to look at if you want to get into that side of things than FanDuel. You should have bought stock a long time ago.
That's right. I know right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 right now if your team wins on FanDuel. John, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I look forward to talking to you again during the season so that way we can recap and see how my Jayhawks are doing.
Enjoying it, man. Happy holidays to you and your family.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at you!
Oh, what a night.
You know what the song's about, Alex? You should read the lyrics and figure
somebody
it out.
Somebody enjoying a nice night?
The night. Yeah. You're going to report back to the class next week. All right, look, if nobody important listened, I will be back next week with Saturday's Suckage. We wanted to bring you an interview Gabe Ramirez did with John Rothstein, CBS college sports basketball writer.
And now we have the luxury of learning a little bit about college basketball. The season is upon us, and we get a chance to chat with the man for himself from CBS Sports Radio, or excuse me, from CBS Sports, and of course, FanDuel hanging out. We got John Rothstein. John, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, man. How you doing?
You know, I can't complain. I got to be honest, you know, it sucks because, you know, I'm a Chicago guy. And out here, obviously, you know, we don't follow college basketball as much, right? There's no team that we associate ourselves with. Right. So growing up, I was a big Kansas fan. You know, I love my Jacques Vaughns. Okay. I love my guys. And so, you know, it's always been a case where, you know, come March, I'm always picking them to go deep. And then they've always, you know, they let you down, you know, a couple of times. And then all of a sudden this year, they're ranked number one. And then I say to myself, this is scary. Even in the coaches poll, you see so many people just saying, yes, Kansas is clearly that number one team in America right now. What can you say about the Kansas Jayhawks to make me not be such a cynic when it comes to this team?
Well, the good thing is you've got a coach, obviously, in Bill Self, that's won multiple national championships. Another thing that you have to be excited about is the fact that Hunter Dickinson in Kansas' system is going to be right there with Zach Edey of Purdue, I think, in the quest to be the National Player of the Year. There's also the seasoning you have at point guard with DeJuan Harris, who has already been a part of a national championship team in his career. And in between those two players, you've got Kevin McCullough, one of the great glue guys in college basketball, and another great role player in KJ Adams. So Kansas has a lot of pieces that you have to like. I wish this team was probably a little bit deeper, but there's a lot to like still with the Jayhawks.
Yeah, and that's why, I see KJ Adams. You saw what he did last year. Just, you know, a great, great guy that can get a bucket, his walking bucket, right? And then, but you're right, depth is an issue. But you would think, you know, it's so amazing. I see Bill Self just get his contract, you know, reworked so that he's the highest paid college coach this year. Well, what do you think about the lifetime? Because, you know, you hear that and you're like, a lifetime contract. This seems very odd to me. But I mean, here he is still with the college and still with the program and having them sitting at number one.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that if, you know, for all intents and purposes, Bill Self wants to coach longer than the 5 years that are in front of him, he'll get that opportunity. You know, it's interesting because you look at the last two coaches at Kansas, Bill Self, Roy Williams. You know, growing up, just as you were captivated by the way Roy Williams, you know, did at Kansas, but the real knock on that era of Kansas basketball was they didn't win enough in the tournament. But Kansas, under Roy Williams, did go to the Final Four in 91. Did go to the Final Four in 93 and also did go back-to-back in 2002 and 2003, but didn't have that elusive national championship. Not only does Kansas have that twice under Bill Self, there was also that run of winning at least a share of so many Big 12 regular season titles. So the accolades continue to pile up during this now 20-year run with Self as a Jayhawks head coach.
We're talking to John Rothstein from CBS Sports and FanDuel Sportsbook here on 670 The Score. I am Gabe Ramirez. I know you're the hungriest insider, right? But what talk to me about, like, your love for college basketball, but more so in a sense about the players, right? Talk to me from a player's perspective, following these young men and how much effort they put in. Because I try to tell people all the time, like, obviously in Chicago, big NBA town, Bulls. But, you know, right. I try to tell them, you know, the hunger that these young men play with, it's just different. You could watch any game in college basketball, any night. It could be a West Coast game at 9:30 in Chicago, and you're going to see two teams that are giving max effort. But for you, John, what is it that you love so much about college hoops year in and year out?
I think the unpredictability, Gabe, I mean, I think there's so many people now who are, you know, married to the analytics aspect of sports, and analytics in a lot of ways have changed things. But Fairleigh Dickinson, according to the website, you know, that's based on analytics, KenPom.com, was ranked 265 at the end of last season. That team that was ranked 265 was able to beat a team in the NCAA tournament, Purdue, that won both the Big Ten regular season and tournament titles. And that just shows you how unpredictable this sport is. And when you go up and down the line, there's so many theories that we have about what it takes to be successful, right, in college basketball. One of them is, to have great success in the NCAA tournament, a team has to have NCAA tournament experience. Three of the four teams in last year's Final Four, Connecticut, the national champion, Florida Atlantic, and also San Diego State, did not win a game in the NCAA tournament the year previously in 2022. So just when you think you find out the answers about college basketball, somebody else is changing the questions.
Yeah, ask Michigan State how they feel about that statement after
no doubt.
After yesterday. But it's true, right? It's the unpredictability, especially when it comes tournament time. But even throughout the season, I mean, it's not so easy, right? I mean, we're speaking from a FanDuel perspective here. It's not so easy to just walk in, you know, day in and day out and say, these are the guys that are going to win because they're blue chippers. You know, sometimes you got to go against the grain and pick some of those underdogs to get yourself some money, right?
No question. And that's one of the things that I really find interesting. Who can I identify outside of the top 9, 10, 11, 12 teams of the country that I think would be a dark horse to go far in the NCAA tournament? Kind of like what we saw from Miami last year, you know, being a team that was, you know, not seeded as high as some other teams in the NCAA tournament, but one that obviously found a way to get to a Final Four. And I think one of those teams, you know, that I look at for 2024 is the team that, you know, is down the road from you guys in Champaign, the Illinois Fighting Illini. I look at this team and I look at their chemistry compared to last season. I think their chemistry is infinitely better. I look at, obviously, the depth that they have. I think their depth is outstanding. And they also have the ability, again, to have great positional size. When you think about the opportunity that Brad Underwood has right now and who he's going to start, if you go with Ty Rogers, Terrence Shannon Jr., Luke Goody, and Marcus Domask, that's four players on the court who stand 6'6 or taller. So they're not getting as much attention as maybe they got a year ago, but I really like the makeup of this Illinois team, and I think they're right on the heels of Purdue and Michigan State in the Big Ten, along with Maryland and Wisconsin.
It's interesting you say that, John, because, you know, you look at some of those teams. You were talking about Miami a second ago. You look at the Fighting Illini, and these are teams that had good squads, you know, even a couple years back where they utilized the transfer portal. We're bringing in, I remember Miami 2 years ago had a guy from Chicago that had been playing, you know, six, seven seasons in college basketball because of certain things. But you find the Fighting Illini, they almost felt like they had the best team they'd had in maybe a decade or so a couple of years back with you know, my Puerto Rican brethren that's no longer there went to St. John. And then, of course, they had a couple of guys that, you know, got drafted but didn't necessarily pan out. But Brad Underwood does a great job of coming back and retooling his squad so that way he can compete in an extremely competitive Big Ten.
Yeah, he definitely can. And look, the bottom line is this. When you look at Brad Underwood's tenure at Illinois, he has made Illinois one of the most consistent brands in the Big Ten Conference. But let's just call it like it is. Illinois has not played particularly well over the past couple of years in the NCAA tournament. There was the loss to Loyola Chicago when they were a number one seed, when they had Kofi Coburn and Ayo Dosunmu. There was the loss to Houston the following year. And last year, we lost to Arkansas. So that's something that I think will change over time, but that's something that I think this group will work hard to dispel coming up here in the spring.
Talking to John Rothstein here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. Talk to me about tournament time, you know, because I got to be honest, when I'm trying to pick my favorites, I always try to think about, like, the ideal roster for college basketball, right? You always think about good shooting guard play, right? Someone that can score, someone that can shoot. Size doesn't necessarily matter and in that case. And then you also need some seniors, right? Somebody to kind of ground you. At least that's what I think, John, when I'm looking at teams and I'm trying to figure out putting them against each other and seeing what are some things you look at when you know, obviously putting two teams together. You know, what are items or checklist variables that you look at to try to figure out who you think is going to end up on top?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is the more you know about this, the worse you're doing your pick. So let's preface that real quick.
That is true.
But, you know, there's certain things and certain teams that you want to identify as early as you can, and I think you nailed it. You want veteran guards. You want guards who can make threes. I like to have teams also that, you know, can make free throws. That's so big in the NCAA tournament. And I think you want those requisites when you're trying to put things together. But you know how what I say all the time, man, this is only November.
Yeah. I mean, we're still getting in. We still haven't even got into conference play yet. It's going to be a fun season. I know you mentioned Illinois. I know we talked a little bit about Kansas. But who are some other teams that you feel like are standing out to you? Because you're seeing some blue chippers at the top again, right? Duke sitting there as well, Kansas.
Sure.
Who are some other teams you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, Duke, I think, has the best roster in the sport. Obviously, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Florida Atlantic does. Everybody back from last year's team that made the Final Four, except for Michael Forrest, the veteran guard. Obviously, a couple of teams in the Big East, Marquette, Creighton, UConn, the defending national champions, all at the top 10. And I also think Arizona under Tommy Lloyd, a team that put up 122 points on Monday night against Morgan State, is a team that looks like a bomb squad out of the Pac-12. They're going to play Duke on Friday. So those teams definitely for sure.
Yeah, I like those. I feel like teams that always let me down, Houston being one of them over the last couple seasons. Creighton, I keep feeling like they're going to make that deep run, you know, get to a championship game, you know, just because of the coaching staff they have there in place and the players that they consistently pull into that organization, that school. But, you know, here we are nonetheless. And the good thing is this, a lot of college basketball, a lot of opportunities to gamble, John. Talk to me about what FanDuel has in terms of incentives for people to jump on board and get in the action.
You know, I'm just a content creator. I'm not Jimmy the Greek, so I want to make sure that's out there right now. But, you know, there's no better place, obviously, to look at if you want to get into that side of things than FanDuel. FanDuel, you should have bought stock a long time ago.
That's right. I know right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 right now if your team wins on FanDuel. John, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I look forward to talking to you again during the season so that way we can recap and see how my Jayhawks are doing.
Enjoying it, man. Happy holidays to you and your family.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.